Hospitals and health organizations today face so many challenges, and many of those affect the bottom line. One presiding factor in all of this is how patients feel about their level of service, and that's why it's critical to talk about the patient experience. Today, I am privileged to interview a colleague and actually a close friend in the healthcare arena, Neil Wildaka from Atrium Health. Now, Atrium Health is actually what was Carolina's healthcare system. Neil and I have been working together for many years in this field and have seen each other at a lot of meetings and stay in touch. Neil, welcome. Thank you for joining the Patient Experience Podcast.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
This is a new role for you, correct?
Yeah, relatively new. I would say within the last couple years. So we've been developing the role over the past couple years. But yeah, it's a new role for Atrium as well. That, you know, we actually had the patient accounting, my role is as the AVP, Assistant Vice President, had a dotted line to our senior executive on the patient experience side.
And to me now, my experience, this can be very difficult. This can, the role when patient experience is in, I guess you would say, the back end of revenue cycle, and even the front end too. But I would say this role is a more difficult role. Would you agree?
It is. You know, it is very difficult, but it certainly presents some challenges and definitely opportunities to help and improve the overall patient experience. And that's how I look at my role, is looking at, you know, the opportunities that we have to make an improvement. I work with, you know, every department within the organization just about to provide feedback on, you know, what I've experienced from the billing side, because it's not all billing related or patient accounting related. You know, it starts at some point, and so I have the opportunity to help and fix that. So yeah, it becomes difficult from just the process issue of making sure putting the pieces together.
Right. I sometimes wonder, though, do people use the billing piece of this to vent? Do you think that creates any, I guess, negative feelings, and you get the brunt of it?
Yeah, you know, what actually, now with the high deductible health plans, before they used to not get a bill, so there really wasn't much to complain about because their balance was zero.
Yeah.
Now they get a bill and it's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, and they're like, "Whoa, wait a minute!" And you know, that all of a sudden sparked something that they thought happened, and of course the bill triggered that. So, you know, us on the back end, you know, they start off calling into customer service and trying to get an answer, or trying to get an answer that they want to get, and they don't get that answer, and then they slowly escalate things up, and that's where it turns into some type of complaint call that goes to administration or whomever. And, you know, so, yeah, we do get the brunt of, you know, nowadays with the complaints from that perspective of that, from the bill, you know, the bill alone.
Exactly, exactly. You know, Neil, there were days, and I know you remember these, and I know my wife, being a teacher, had the state health plan, but back years back, before it was even self-funded, they had Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. And if you were a teacher or a state employee, you went to the hospital, and it pretty much paid 100% unless you were in a private room and there was a private room difference of $5 a day.
Right.
And that's, you know, times have changed. And unfortunately, and you may not agree with me on this, but I think a lot of frustration is that the patients do not understand their insurance coverage. They just think, wow, I've got health insurance in now, but there's a $10,000 deductible out there. And I think that may be a lot of the frustration. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, John. The patients that I talk to patients every single day throughout the day, you know, and so one of the things that I have the opportunity to do is to enlighten those about their coverage. They don't know their benefits. They don't know what they really have. And so that is one of the big issues. You know, they have insurance. Why didn't my insurance pay? I thought I had insurance. Well, you do have insurance, but unfortunately, you have a deductible that you had to meet first. You know, I mean, I get them from within the organization. People know my role here, so even my colleagues or other employees, somehow they get my number. I think it's on the bathroom walls around here. They end up calling me and just asking me questions about stuff. And, you know, and some of the people are folks that, you know, I thought knew insurance and knew, understood it.
That's right.
You just don't. And, I always say I work in this world and I still question things. I still have questions on stuff.
Yeah. And it is frustrating. And I still actually have people ask me, like, downtown on King Street, they say, you know, I've got this new insurance, but there's something not right about it. And they'll say, I know you don't work at the hospital anymore, but why am I getting a bill when I have complete insurance? I said, do you have a deductible? And they say, what's a deductible?
Right.
And you explain to them, they go, oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't really think about that. So, becomes... I think the healthcare provider's responsibility to actually educate the patient on their insurance. And I think that's a good thing to do as far as patient experience goes. Do you see yourself, Neil, as an advocate for a patient or a family member in your role?
Yeah, John, I was going to say, I mean, that ends up being our conversation that I have. And, I mean, I have a sticker that's in front of me that says health advocate, financial health advocate, navigator, that I look at every day because that's my role. I feel that is my role with my patients or the patients that I talk to with our patients.
Yeah.
Just because of the simple fact, I mean, you know, we were just talking about, you know, the benefits, but those patients that are out of network, they don't understand, you know, that they couldn't come to us. And, you know, they thought it was an emergency visit. They can come to us. And that's not necessarily the case. And so I do my best to try to create a win-win situation there that, you know, in explaining to them what that means. And I will go to battle. If I'm looking at an account, when I get all the details and put everything together, and, you know, now I have my story of what happened, and it matches up to what the patient's saying, if there's a complaint, so to speak, on the balance or something that they weren't happy with, and everything, you know, comes out to what they said, then, I mean, I will then apply some type of service recovery or administrative adjustment, just depending on what the situation is. Do we adjust all the balance? Sometimes we do. Do we adjust off a portion of it? Sometimes we do it that way. You know, it really just depends on the situation. And, you know, we want to make it fair for the patient. And, I mean, I want them to feel like they've been treated fairly, and I want them to know that they've been heard and that it's made a difference for them to call in. Because one of the things that we do here, we actually have 100% responses on every letter or phone call or email that comes into any of our administrators at any of the facilities, at any of the practices, that I actually call every one of them and let them know that we received whatever it is, whatever mode they reached out to us. And 9 times out of 10, their response is, I didn't think I would get a phone call. I didn't think I would get a response, much less a phone call. And so that alone already puts us in, you know, ahead of things that we're already responding to them. You know, in typical letter, they'll say what they want to say in their letter, and then at the end they CC the DOJ, the attorney, you know, they have all these list names on there, and we're not calling them back for those reasons, but they, you know, they think they need to put all that on there so that way we will. Well, that's not what we do here. We actually will. I call every single one of them. I'll call them to let them know I got the letter because it comes from the administrators. Comes directly to me, so then I handle it at that point in time. And obviously all the patient accounting stuff, and sometimes there's a mix of patient accounting and clinical stuff, and I'll work with my colleagues on that to get that resolution. And then we write a letter back to the patient to let them know what we, you know, what we've done and what's been resolved, so they have it for their file. And I give them my direct line, my phone number, or even email address, whichever they want, so they can contact me again in the future or anytime going forward if they have any questions on anything.
Do you feel like you have a lot of new best friends?
I have a lot of new that I do.
I mean because you help someone and you stand as an advocate for them, then they're going to remember your name, and to the point that they may not let anyone else help them. You know, I remember a gentleman that would come to the hospital, and he may have had a question that could have been answered in 2 or 3 minutes over the phone, or he would come and they would say, "Well, John, he's went to grab some lunch. Well, I'll just wait." And they would say, "Well, can I help you?" "No."
Right.
And that's okay. Right. I think that is a good thing. For some reason, though, as you're talking right now, Neil, I've got just this visual of your inbox.
Yeah. There are days that I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, and so my hours, because I truly do love what I do and love being able to help the patients in our community here. My hours, I work until 6 or 7 o'clock at night, or 7 or 8 o'clock at night, to make those phone calls back. I mean, I feel that's my obligation to them. If they've written in and they're waiting for a response, then I feel compelled that I need to do that. So, I mean, some days are, you know, that's not every day, obviously, but it's every week. I have those days every week. And I just feel that that's what needs to be done, and to make sure that they've gotten the answer, or they've heard, or, you know, they receive the information that they needed.
And that, you know, it's not a little thing, but it's the little things that you do that make the difference in patient experience. I mean, it's that phone call, it's that letter that, as you said, they just want to be heard. I want you to add to your, I might make you a sign or something and bring it down to Charlotte, because I really want to see your inbox. I mean, I just, you know, I'll take you to lunch and you can show me your inbox. But I think another thing would be advocate, maybe shepherd too. You're shepherding a lot of these people.
Yeah, and that's a good one too.
And they're great folks. Yeah. Do you think anything that you ever do will turn around maybe a bad patient experience, like they had a personality conflict with a nurse or someone? Do you think that you have the ability to turn that around?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult from the patient accounting side to change their view on some things, but you know, many times because they get their again, like I said earlier, when they get their bill, that's what's starting their complaint, and then they, you know, seem to have other issues, you know, or maybe it does start off that it was a nursing issue of some sort, or, you know, somebody was rude to them. I mean, even to the fact that somebody was rude to them on the phone when they called into customer service.
Mm-hmm.
I think by me sharing my knowledge and explaining, you know, what the issue that they were really calling about was, does help them and restore faith in the organization, in our processes. I've been here at you know, CHS, now Atrium, for 23 years, not in the same role, obviously, all the time, but throughout the patient accounting department. So I know this side of this world pretty good. And so I'm able to see things and understand things and share things with whomever I'm talking to make make them feel confident and comfortable in what we're, you know, what's going on. And so being able to share those things does, I think, restore some of their faith back in the organization. And I'll give you one story right now. I'm dealing with a patient that I dealt with her most of 2017. We got everything paid in December, finally, of 2017, where she ended up paying the balance after we went through everything. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, we got everything done. She's, you know, I'm done. Everything's clear. Well, about a month ago, I heard back from her again because she had to come back to the doctor for whatever reason. And, you know, her email started to say, you know, you bet you thought you'd never hear from me again. Well, the issue is about she was having trouble getting an appointment because of the service that she was trying to have.
Yes.
One of the physicians was leaving. And so she was reaching out to me on the patient accounting side to say, hey, can you help me out trying to get an appointment in, you know, with this area so that way I can, you know, be seen? And, you know, so knowing that I spent the whole time with her last year fixing her account, and then she's reaching out to me just as a general question because she has my contact information, I think that says a lot.
It does. And, it does. You know, and you're going to uncover something that may not be pleasant to the patient and that you may have to go back to nursing or, and then again, that's just improving the entire situation. You're right. Learning from these.
That's right. That's exactly right. There's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something. I mean, honestly, that is the truth. I know a lot, but I'm learning a lot too every day.
That's right. Neil, I'm going to throw a question on you. I didn't tell you I was going to ask, but
sure.
And I do this with everyone I interview. And I want to ask you, how do you lead? What would say your best leadership trait is?
So how I lead, my best leadership trait is listening.
That's
I listen first. I don't react. And I listen to what, you know, whether it's a teammate, whether it's a patient, I will listen first before I react and before I say anything, because I want to hear what it is first, and then I have a way of, and people have told me this, that, I mean, even if I'm giving somebody a written or a verbal or something, that I have a way that after we're done, they're going to say thank you.
Yes.
And so, but I think my best trait is that in leadership is that I listen, and I want to hear what the issue is, what the question is, you know, what we need to talk about, and then we'll talk about it. And I get people on board because people feel very comfortable with me and working with me and talking to me. And that way I get other people, the other teammates in the building, for that matter, that will come up and ask me questions because they know they will get an answer after we're done talking because I've heard what they had to say.
Right. That reminds me of, I was in a gift shop. We were on vacation. I can't remember. The only thing regret is I didn't buy this. And the little sign says, all I need is a good listening to.
There you go. Exactly.
And you think about it, that's what people really need. And to me, that's what makes a difference.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Neil, for joining me today. Have always been a mentor and good friend to me, and look forward to seeing you soon.
John, thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on, and if there's anything else, just let me know, okay?
Sounds good, Neil. Thanks, and goodbye. All right,
thanks, John.
Thanks for joining us today for the patient experience. Please help us out by sharing our show with a healthcare professional in your life or by leaving us a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform.